gems.com.
Hi, Mom. I brought dinner.
Oh, please, please tell me it's one of those big, horny casseroles. Nothing tastes as good as big hornies.
Yes, Mom. I brought two. And remember, it's the big horn Y. It's not all one word.
I don't care what they call themselves. Just keep bringing their food.
Unforgettable food. Unfortunate Facebook address. Call ahead for made to order or pick up in the store. Find us on Facebook at, yeah, Big Horn Y.
Disaster can strike and it's never convenient. Captain Clean is always on standby 24/7 to respond. From sewage backups to unexpected water inside your home, we can help. From fire and smoke damage to the unsightly mold found growing on your wall, our experts are here to help you from start to finish. Call Captain Clean today for your free consult. Captain Clean, 672-0726. Affordable solutions for healthy living.
We clean more for you.
Step into a world of wintry wonder as Shimmer brings a breathtaking Cirque performance to the Weill Theater stage Thursday, January 22nd at 6:30 p.m. Enjoy awe-inspiring aerialists, acrobats, and dreamlike choreography celebrating the enchantment of the season through movement, light, and imagination. Tickets for this spellbinding experience are available now at the Weill Theater box office or online at weilltheater.com. A winter Cirque reverie, Thursday, January 22nd.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Tuesday, January 13th. And from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Wyoming Highway Patrol Lieutenant Louis Tegdesh. Good morning, LT. Welcome back.
Good morning, Floyd.
And how was your holiday season?
It was good. Obviously, the weather was favorable, so I got some time to spend outside, even ride a bike in early January. So
that's pretty rare here in the state of Wyoming. Yep. But you didn't get blown over.
No. When it's blowing, I tend to stay inside.
Yeah, me too. Once I hear I've got my trash can kind of tucked away behind my place, and when the wind really gets going, I hear that lid smack the side of the house. And so that's my sign. Stay inside.
That happens at my house too.
You always wonder who's out there, and then the wind.
Yep.
Well, it has been a season of very little snow and some high wind gusts. LT, how do you describe the wind patterns we've been seeing across northern Wyoming this winter in your own words, particularly on Interstate 90?
Yeah, I don't know if the patterns are any different, because wintertime usually brings the wind more so than in the summer. But I think what we're seeing is much stronger winds. I think that could be attributed to some of this warmer weather and, certain air mixing together or something like that. I'm no weather expert, but I did see something like that in, online, which I tend to believe that's probably the case.
Yeah.
I-90 in general, it's obviously affecting traffic with the high amounts of wind and what YDOT is doing to try to prevent any vehicles from being blown over. I think people have noticed our overhead signs quite often are advising drivers with light loads to not travel during these high wind events. I-90, we're seeing the wind like we would any year, except stronger, I think.
Yeah, stronger winds, lighter snows.
Yeah, yeah. it's maybe a trade-off.
Right, yeah. Now, with that, though, when we talk about high-profile vehicles, what generally falls in that category? I mean, we all know the truck trailer, but we got a lot of people around here with horse trailers, camp trailers. I mean, I don't know if people are still camping up in the mountains, because there's some snow up there.
Right.
But, you know, grabbing the boat, throwing it on the back of the truck and heading out for the weekend, that's not unheard of right now right. for some reason.
Yeah, the high-profile trailers, you typically think of the enclosed van trailer, which a semi-truck would be pulling, a 53-foot trailer. That's probably one of the most common ones that would blow over if they are light or empty. But, yeah, I think the listeners will see these overhead signs and say, well, it says campers, 20,000 pounds or less campers, which it could be confusing because while campers are susceptible to being blown over, you also have your enclosed trailers, you know, 15-foot trailers or whatever that are light or empty. Like you said, boats. We've had boats blow over.
Yeah.
Just light loads in general on U-Haul trucks, stuff like that. Those are susceptible to blowing over.
I didn't even think about those. Yeah.
Yeah.
U-Hauls, UPS. Yeah.
So, and some of this information, if people are interested, they can go to the YDOT website, and there's FAQs, frequently asked questions on this. You know, what constitutes a light load or what type of trailer is susceptible to being blown over. And they, which is also a great resource to find out road closures or wind advisories and things like that too.
Now, when we talk about up here, Northern Wyoming, you and I were talking a little bit before the show, not overly typical for heavy winds. I mean, you know, like I said beforehand, if you're going from Cheyenne to Wheatland, you're kind of expecting that. Northern Cheyenne's pretty rough when it comes to the winds. But when it comes to around here, sure, we get the gusts now and then. But these gusts, I looked it up this morning. We're looking at 90 miles an hour plus, which is absolutely not unheard of by any means, but definitely not typical for this area.
That's right. And it's interesting because there's a trooper that works in the area that he worked most of his career in Casper. He'd been around a long time. And that super high wind event 2-3 weeks ago mm-hmm. for a couple days.
Oh, my gosh.
He mentioned that this is Casper wind. So, yeah, it's not exactly normal up here. You're going to get the high winds, but, like, when you have to walk sideways to keep from blowing over, that's not normal here as it is, like you said, down by Wheatland on I-25 or on areas of I-80 where it's much more common to see trucks blown over and like a graveyard of trucks sitting in the median or on the shoulder.
I mean, it makes me wonder. I didn't look up information in the Red Desert, but now I'm curious. I think I'm going to have to look that up because I would imagine it's pretty western through that area right now.
Yeah.
Trying to drive across that. There's a long, barren section of highway, which I'm sure you know. Not a whole lot out there. I bet those winds are punishing.
Yeah, and on top of that, most of these truck drivers are not from around here, and they don't experience this, and they proceed through and ignore the warnings, and they end up rolled over, possibly injured, but taking up resources, blocking roadways, causing dangerous conditions for other drivers.
Now, you said we haven't seen like an unusually high number, but an unusual one. Two blowovers recently here in our area?
In late December, I think it was probably right around Christmas time, we had, I believe, two in one day, and that was in Sheridan County. And the last one I remember was probably that I was actually at was 5 or more years ago.
Yeah.
And that was in Sheridan County as well, south of Sheridan, pretty close to the county line.
Now, when it comes to a situation like that, if I get blown over, what's my first step? I check everybody. Everyone's fine. Now I just give you a call?
Well, yeah, we're going to definitely need a call, and I would bet that more than one person is already calling it in to dispatch, and whether they're first contacting the sheriff's office just by way of radio towers and the 911 setup. They'll eventually get transferred to us, and we will obviously make our way out there as quickly as possible. I would say you'd want to get out of the vehicle and get off the highway if you're in the middle of the road or something like that. You don't want to be in a vehicle that's on its side and, you know, possibly being in danger of being hit by somebody else and trying to get people off the road. And next step is, I'm sure other people will stop and try to help direct traffic as well if emergency services aren't there at the time.
Yeah, well, I've seen a lot of people do that. Matter of fact, I saw one of the blowovers that you were referring to on my way to work. And I hope everyone is okay. It appeared to me to look like it was a horse trailer, which instantly I was just terrified, because to think that a poor horse could have been in that trailer when it blew over, I wouldn't even know where to begin with that, how to get my horse out of there. So I hope everyone was okay in that. Are there certain stretches in your experience up here in northern Wyoming of I-90 that are worse when it comes to wind than others? Like when you start getting these high speed wind events in the area, you like, oh, I got to go check this area, or I got to go look around this place.
Yeah. And I think some of that has to do with the direction of the wind as well. So obviously if there's a crosswind, it's, you know, blowing into your side, so you're more susceptible to being blown over. But the areas I've noticed in Sheridan County would be just north of Sheridan, and then probably 10 to 20 miles south of Sheridan on I-90. And then, of course, if you're traveling eastbound on I-90, like going farther east, you're going east to west or west to east. Typically in the wintertime, you're getting that northwest wind. So if you're going in such a direction where it's blowing into your side, you never know. It could be anywhere.
Mm-hmm. I drive that very little car. Yep. And it's great for gas mileage. But I'll admit, during that high-speed wind event that you were referring to beforehand, I was driving home, and boy, it felt just like a bull hit me on the side, and I had to tend into it and really focus up and kind of lean into the wind a little bit, for lack of a better term, to try and get home, because those gusts, they seem to come out of nowhere and in areas that I wouldn't expect.
That's right, and I've experienced that as well recently in my personal vehicle. I knew the wind was going to be blowing at some point, and I hit a certain spot, and all of a sudden my truck, you know, moves several feet from just a wind gust.
And this is a truck?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was just a pickup truck with a topper. And so, you know, there's plenty of area for the wind to affect it, but that's why it's also important to have two hands on the steering wheel and be ready for that.
Yeah, lesson learned, I'll tell you that, because that one, I'll admit, that one took me off guard, because I was very well of the wind happening. I don't think there was anybody who wasn't, but that wind gust itself really kind of shocked me, and I thought, boy, I'm going to end up getting blown over right here on the road. Now, how quickly have you seen situations kind of change, go from, hey, this is kind of bad, to worse, like that wind gust situation, but a little more permanent than just a gust? How quickly can that change on I-90?
It can change rapidly, just like the other day, maybe last week, when it was bright and sunny, but you could see the clouds over the mountain, and all of a sudden it's snowing. And we got a decent amount of snow, you know, compared to the rest of the winter.
Yeah.
And it caused problems. When you get that snow covering on the interstate, it can go from everything's fine to responding to crashes or slide-offs. So the wind has been doing the same thing, where it's a beautiful day and all of a sudden it just picks up for some reason. You know, it's just the pattern that the jet stream or whatever produces, and then it might stay for 2 days like we saw recently.
Now, when it comes to speed, I'm driving along, the wind suddenly starts. Do I want to slow down?
That definitely helps. It gives you more reaction time. And then, like for some of these vehicles with trailers, just think of it as a sailboat. I think the faster you're going, the more lift you're going to get when the wind is pushing you.
Okay.
And I've been behind semi trucks where the rear tires are lifting off the ground, and they start noticing that and they slow down, and it helps. But most of all, they just need to get to a safe place to stop. And sometimes I've seen it when I work down on I-80, they pull into the median in one of those crossovers and are perpendicular to the roadway. And to me, although it might be, you know, illegal to cross the median or park there, that's far better than continuing down the road and blowing over.
And getting blown over. Yep. So even if you do find a spot, make sure that you're actually parking in the right direction, so you're not just becoming a giant billboard sitting out there waiting to blow away. From your perspective, are most blowovers preventable if drivers actually follow those restrictions and slow down and adjust driving behavior? As you said before, get both hands up on that wheel, slow down. I mean, could we prevent a lot of these, or some of them are just freaks of nature? This happens.
I think most of them are preventable, but that, you know, the responsibility is on the driver. And the nice thing that we talked about earlier is these overhead signs that we have, and YDOT is putting up the messages on there that travel is restricted to, you know, certain weight vehicles, and they're given the wind speeds. Like this morning, it said 40 plus mile an hour gusts between Buffalo and Sheridan. So to know how much weight you have in your trailer, or your total weight of truck trailer combination, to be willing to take some time to stop and wait it out and not be in a hurry, to slow down, to have two hands on the wheel, all that combined can prevent most of these blowovers.
Well, I'll tell you, and probably save a lot of time, because if you get blown over, I'm driving one day, and I can't remember if it was just an accident or possible blowover, but the amount of boxes that were on the road, that would have taken hours to get picked up.
Yeah, it saves time, and it'll save you money, both through insurance, tow bills, fines. You'll most likely end up with a fine in the form of a citation if you're getting blown over.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, all right. On that, more with our Highway Patrol right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
What if your bank actually shared your values?
That's the difference at First Federal Bank and Trust.
No outside shareholders, just shared values.
Just people banking with people and investing right back into our community.
Supporting local nonprofits.
Strengthening the place where we call home.
With local branches and convenient online and mobile banking.
Banking without shareholders.
You belong at First Federal Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
When it comes to Wyoming, your roof takes hits. Hail, wind, snow, and sun. That's why Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors installs metal roofing built to last. From commercial-grade R-panel, residential metal roofs, and our impact-resistant 24-gauge standing seam systems, every option is engineered for strength, longevity, and performance. When you want protection that lasts a lifetime, call Brandon 307 for your free inspection. Quality materials, quality installation, local experience you can count on. Visit Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, Branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Do you ever hear ringing, buzzing, or humming when the room is quiet? You might be dealing with tinnitus, and if so, you're definitely not alone. Hi, this is Dr. Addison Dempsey from Ebia Hearing in Sheridan. We talk with people every day who feel frustrated, exhausted, and unsure where to turn because of tinnitus. The good news is there are treatment options. Advanced hearing aids like Starkey Omega AI can help reduce the perception of tinnitus by properly stimulating your auditory nerve and with masking technology. We also offer Lanier, an innovative FDA-approved therapy that combines sound with gentle stimulation to help retrain how the brain responds to tinnitus. There's no one-size-fits-all solution, which is why we start by listening to you. If you're struggling to hear well or tinnitus is affecting your sleep, focus, or quality of life, schedule a consultation with EBA Hearing today. You deserve quiet, clear moments again. EBA Hearing on Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan. Call 674-8920. That's 674-8920.
This announcement is brought to you by Farmers Co-op, your farm and ranch supply store on Coffeen Avenue.
Join the Advocacy and Resource Center for the 9th Annual Love Shouldn't Hurt fundraiser featuring the High Energy Fun Pianos, February 13th at 6 p.m. at the Caliph Shrine. For only $75 per person, enjoy music, laughter, and an unforgettable event while supporting survivors of violence in our community. Love Shouldn't Hurt. Your support makes a difference. For questions, call 307-672-7471.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. And this morning, we're sitting with Wyoming Highway Patrol Lieutenant Louis Tegedish. Now, Lieutenant, despite all the strong winds, snowfall has been unusually light this winter. And when we look at the road conditions, as I was telling you before, it makes me a little curious. Snow tends to make us slow down, be a little more cautious. And yes, there are the daredevils and the four-wheel drivers that think they can plow through anything. But the majority of us tend to get a little more cautious as the snow covers the road. From the law enforcement standpoint, how would you describe the driving conditions during the recent holiday travel period? Usually I'm sitting here with Captain Jorgensen. We're talking about wrecks and all the ice on the road. We just don't have that this year.
No, it's, I think everybody likes that. yeah. But it's just like an extension of fall or, you know, in the summer when the roads are nice, people are still moving. And with the dry roads, and this time of year, there's less traffic. So, you know, there's not all the tourists and stuff. So the roads are more open. And so we'll get those high speeds. And it's often, especially, say, on I-25 between Casper and Buffalo, where there's very little traffic. And yeah, especially people from other states, they just open it up. And it's no big deal for them to be going 100 miles an hour.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's nice that there hasn't been snow. There's been a couple events like last week, Thursday into Friday, we had some of that snow and it caused a few crashes, but nothing like we are used to.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, people are just enjoying the dry road conditions. And so then when it does snow, they might not let off the gas as much as they should. And we're finding people running into guardrails or just running off the road, and which we're used to in the wintertime, but we'd rather see people take their time, slow down, and be ready to run into anything.
So anecdotally, because I know you don't have the numbers in front of you and you don't keep track of everybody, but are you and your team citing more speeders this season than in the past?
I would say so. There's more opportunity to get out and work, being proactive, and, you know, making traffic stops.
That's true.
Which includes in Floyd, we're seeing quite a bit of drug arrests too. Obviously there's many states around us that has legal marijuana. So, you know, not the huge amounts like pounds. But there's been quite a few just people traveling through with their marijuana, or even people from Wyoming that are getting it in, say, Montana, and we're coming across that too. So we're able to focus more on the traffic aspect instead of taking up our time, you know, run into crashes. And I think that will change at some point this winter.
But, unfortunately,
it's been nice.
But yeah, that's something that I haven't talked to law enforcement about a lot. And that's the drug aspect of being out there on the freeway. One of the first stories that I covered a number of years ago now, big marijuana bust, hundreds and hundreds of pounds. And the kid was just transporting from one area to another and was speeding and got stopped. And I always tend to forget that it's legal in Montana, because I kind of see Montana as like Wyoming's sister state.
Right.
So you actually do see quite a few people. Well, I guess you cite a lot of people coming down from there.
Yeah. Whether it's people from Montana coming, traveling through, or coming to Sheridan for, shopping, or people from Wyoming going up to Montana and coming back with, their
reserve.
Yeah, right.
Their reserve.
And they're coming, the troopers are coming across this, and they have to confiscate it. It's not legal here. We realize it's legal in other states, but there's nothing we can do about it. So that's what we have to do. And they're going to be either cited or arrested.
So I imagine, the numbers will reflect this at the end of the year. I would love to eventually take a peek at that once the annual report is done, to see the differences in like citations, drug busts, because you guys, like you said, aren't rushing off to the nearest and latest car accident. As you said, this is probably going to change probably sooner than I want it to.
Yeah.
But and we'll see snow before too long, and then we'll get those big, wet, heavy snows that we get end of February, beginning of March. And those ones always kind of make for a slushy type of situation out there on the freeway.
Yep.
Now, is there anything you would like to tell folks before I let you go and you head back out onto the freeway about safety, wind, anything like that?
Well, yeah, I would say that if you are pulling these light or enclosed trailers, just to be mindful of the signage that YDOT puts up. They're not putting it up to punish anybody. It's a warning, and it could be saving you a lot of heartache in the future. Not to mention, these signs are the same as, say, a road closed gate. So if you're going past them and you're being blown over, you could be fined up to, I think it's just over $1,000.
Wow.
In a citation. So you could be saving yourself a whole lot of problems by being mindful, knowing what you're hauling, how heavy your load is, and all that.
All right.
LT. And to buckle up, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is one thing that I think we should almost dedicate an entire show to in the future, because that's unfortunately an issue that we still face.
Yeah.
It's kind of become a habit for me, but yeah. All right, LT, I greatly appreciate you taking the time to come in and see us. It's always a pleasure seeing you. Please be safe out there on the roads,
sir. Thanks, Floyd. Good to see you.
All right, when we return, we're going to speak with Sheridan County Conservation District. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Some banks answer to shareholders.
First Federal Bank and Trust answers to the community.
Because as a mutual bank, everyone benefits. Profits stay local.
Supporting nonprofits and community programs with decades of local roots and modern online and mobile banking that fits your life.
More than a bank.
A mutual commitment.
First Federal Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
Happy New Year from the Bates team at Best Real Estate.
As we step boldly into 2026, we're here to wish you a year filled with good health, happiness, and incredible prosperity.
A new year means new opportunities, and whether you're dreaming of a new home, planning to sell, or exploring possibilities, the Bates team is here and ready to help every step of the way.
Let us make 2026 your best year yet. From Jill and Colton Bates with the Bates team at Best Real Estate, cheers to new beginnings and exciting adventures ahead.
Happy New Year!
Hi, this is Dan Marshall with Captain Clean. We are Northern Wyoming's premier cleaning service. Carpet cleaning, air duct cleaning, oriental rug cleaning, water and fire damage restoration, mold remediation, upholstery cleaning, tile and grout cleaning, hardwood floor cleaning, and much, much more. Nobody cleans like we do. Call Captain Clean today, 672-0726. Affordable solutions for healthy living.
We clean more for you.
Moss Holders is creating space for new inventory in the new year. That means tons of in-stock items have been priced to move. All month long, you can save 20, 30, even 50% off selected items. Every piece of clearance furniture is in stock. Most of them are one of a kind. So that means by shopping early, you'll get the best selection of clearance pricing. Whether you're wanting a new sofa, recliner, dining set, or bedroom pieces, Moss Holders has discounted furniture for every room in your home. Start off the new year with a new look at great pricing. Moss Holders clearance sale going on now. Moss Holders, furniture is our passion.
Hungry for a delicious meal that'll leave your taste buds singing? Look no further than Frackleton's Fine Food and Spirits. Everything from mouth-watering burgers to succulent steaks, our menu was packed with flavor and satisfaction. Check out our extensive drink menu featuring handcrafted cocktails, local brews, and fine wines. By the way, now it's easier than ever to book your table early. Go to Frackleton's.com and choose your time of day and the table you want, and it'll be waiting for you when you get there. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan.
Step into a world of wintry wonder as Shimmer brings a breathtaking Cirque performance to the Wild Theater stage Thursday, January 22nd at 6:30 p.m. Enjoy awe-inspiring aerialists, acrobats, and dreamlike choreography, celebrating the enchantment of the season through movement, light, and imagination. Tickets for this spellbinding experience are available now at the Wild Theater box office or online at wildtheater.com. A Winter Cirque Reverie, Thursday, January 22nd.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For a second part this morning, we're speaking with Sheridan County Conservation District Manager, Carrie Rogacheski, and USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service District Conservationist, Andrew Cassidy. Your title, brother. That is a mouthful.
Too much.
It's great.
There's a lot.
It's fantastic to see you both. I'm glad to have you guys back. Yeah. Before I get too carried away, yesterday you had a field day. I was just curious. What were you looking at?
Actually, it was just out in the field looking with a couple of landowners and Andrew on some projects that they have in process and or upcoming requests. That's just part of one of the things, you know, as a project becomes, as we receive requests, it's not just on paper. We do have to get out and look at things and kind of try to, and Andrew does this a lot as well, but try to mesh the needs and desires and goals of the landowner to the programs that we have available.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, the program, and Andrew and I were actually just visiting about this on our way over here. You know, we talk about the natural resource concern, the water quality issues or the landscape issues. And sometimes that's not on the forefront of the landowner's mind. I mean, it is, but that's not how they're thinking of the project.
Yeah.
They want something to, maybe it's not breaking ice in the winter or losing their animals in the creek, and so they want some fence or water, and that's great. We don't expect them to always think of things in the terms of our ability to check the little boxes of the funding agencies. That's kind of our job.
Yeah,
you know, so they have a need, we might have a program, and trying to find that intersection of where the two meet. So we weren't actually out. I mean, we were out in the field, but that was what we were doing, not necessarily sampling or a tour or anything, but just working on site with a landowner trying to find the programs to fit their needs.
And it's still construction season, strangely.
Yeah, right.
I was going to ask. Yeah, yeah, you guys still able to get out and do these types of evaluations?
They're digging.
Which takes away from office time.
Yeah, which everybody
but it's
loves.
All good, but yeah.
So, yeah, no, it's kind of that finding that win-win that, like, our programs want to see these natural resource benefits. Landowner has these problems that are, I always think of Venn diagrams, the overlapping mm-hmm. circles. You know, we are largely overlapping. They have some interests that aren't in the program, but that's the adaptation we do and find that win-win for.
When somebody has some new land and let's say it's a pretty good swath and they got a creek and they got everything that we all want involved in our land, yeah. But they really don't know what to do with it. Because honestly, that's the situation mm-hmm. I think I'd find myself in. And sure. if I suddenly came, you know, upon this, owning this, I would call you and say, well, sure. what's the next step to preserving what we have? And maybe even, you know, gaining a little bit more yeah. in the future. Do you guys right. get that a lot, or is that something that you
it
recommend?
It is something we do yeah. regularly. And
it doesn't have to be a large swath. No, we get that those questions on small swaths, too. Yeah. Small
yes.
size.
Yes, and there's opportunity at all scales. And so, you know, the big thing is finding what works for you. You know, just like in, I don't know, the way you run your household or whatever, you know, there's ways, ideal ways you'd like to do it. And then there are the ways that you can make it happen. New landowners are always wanting to do, you know, everything they possibly can. And that's really good. And I sure encourage them. But we've got to start with what they can do right now.
The practical solution.
Yes. And so, you know, we've got, you know, some pasture, say, we want to manage it as best we can right now, knowing that it's going to take time and money and emotional investment to do the changes that, you know, we're going to have to spend more time building fence or, you know, just managing livestock or those sorts of things. And what can we do in the immediate term, and what's kind of, you know, on the next, you know, 3 to 5 year time frame that we can plan these things, and then what pieces are a great idea but are the someday or if we win the lottery or those sorts
or
of things.
Or maybe never, and it's just not gonna.
And I think the pragmatic approach is probably the best solution for a lot of people. I'm gonna yeah. end up being the guy with pie in the sky things,
right,
you know,
right.
and thoughts. But it's good to have somebody
and don't lose that.
Well, but then sometimes it's just trying to talk to the people. Okay, we got this pie in the sky, but what do you want to do? Like Andrew said, now, and if you want to do it now, you know, is it something you can do with your own manpower? Do you need some assistance? And if you need that assistance, are you willing to wait for government yeah. processes and the grants? You know, those timelines are not immediate.
Yeah.
And so anyone that's like, well, I've got this I want to do and I want to do it next week. Well, we can maybe talk you through it, but it's not going to be something we will be able to help you with with any sort of.
And how do we get going without, you know, moving in that direction without having a wreck straight out of the gate?
Mm-hmm. You know, something that we end up having to fix later on.
Yeah. We were last week in Gillette for a virtual fence symposium put on by a number of partner agencies and NGO type groups. Fantastic. We live in a really exciting time in the fact that we've gone to a place where we can achieve management without having to build fence. This is a system that behaves much like the bury a wire and put the collar on your dog thing,
mm-hmm.
But on a pasture scale. It's run off of cell phone technology at this point. You know, satellite technology is maybe in the future, but the logistics, as I understand, really boils down to batteries.
Mm-hmm.
that it takes more batteries to talk to satellites than it does to talk to cell phones. And so, you know, we've gone to a place where you can really have kind of as much quote unquote fence as you want without having to build it. And
with that being said, though, all the vendors that were there that were represented were very clear about saying it's not going to work for everybody.
Yeah.
It may not be your thing, and you've got to be excited about it because if you're not excited about it going into it, and that's the same with any project, if you're really not excited about adding stock water or fencing or practicing some soil health regenerative ag practices, it's probably not going to work very well. And so when we go out and visit, it's kind of also that, how excited or how much do you want to do this? Are you calling us because your grandparents kind of said you should or neighbor did, or are you excited about it? And that was one thing that one of my takeaways from it is they were very upfront of us, not for everybody right now.
Yeah.
And you have to be excited about it if you're going to take that step. So I thought that was pretty.
And we may never get away from some fence, especially right. perimeter fence. You know, good fences make good neighbors.
Yes, yep, for sure. Yep.
And you may never get away from that. But the internal fences, the management fences, those, you know, it, in recent years, the top tier of that has been folks that are doing it with temporary electric fence.
And that That's how my dad did it.
Yeah, and it works well. It really works well. It's just a lot of labor, and especially in an area where, you know, you've got elk or deer or things like that that don't know what they're, I mean, then you're constantly picking it up and putting it back up. And
that's something else my dad
constantly did.
Retrieving the cows that got away when it was laying on the ground instead of doing what it's supposed to. But
yeah.
So we are excited to see how this is going to play out into things that we do. I know Andrew's shop does have some programs already that they can use to pay for that. I don't at this time, but it doesn't mean we
become
wouldn't
a part
to.
Of the EQIP program offerings.
Really?
A year ago was the first offering, and the details for the 2026 program are still a little bit emerging, but there will be that opportunity and something we see more and more people interested in, because post and wire fence has gotten to be crazy expensive, like everything else. And one of the resets in a few places with after the fires of 2024 is maybe we don't need to rebuild all that fence.
Maybe
technology can take up some of that,
fill in that gap.
Right. The one owner, a Johnson County guy, that his quote is stuck in my mind is, you know, it took my family 100 years to put up all this fence, and now I've got to look at putting it back up in a year.
And
how do you do that? And it's just about impossible.
Yeah.
But maybe this is a tool that could serve some of that need. And you'd see, you know, talking about natural resource benefits from a wildlife perspective, no fence is the least impactful of wildlife, be it birds or big game jumping or going under fences, that sort of thing. If you can achieve your management goals without putting a fence out there, that's one less obstacle. And we're not having that problem here locally with heavy weather, but you know, in the southern tier of the state, they saw extensive big game death in part due to fences that they couldn't navigate.
Wow.
with heavy snow two years ago, 3 years ago, whenever it was a real winter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our last real winter.
The big one. Yeah. They did, especially, what was it, Southwest?
Yeah, really fascinating data in some of that checkerboard country where you would never know it, except they've got GPS collars on some of this wildlife. And they'd come up to a fence and they'd go up and down it, and try to bounce off. And eventually the critter would succumb.
And just kind of
But you would never know that if you just saw dead critters around. But the fact that they couldn't navigate this little section of fence, and if they had not bounced off of it, maybe they'd still be alive.
Have been able to get to where they were going.
Better cover, better feed, whatever they were headed for.
I'll tell you, I've been kind of fascinated with the virtual fencing, and that's something that you know, longtime and regular listeners would know. I try to talk to as many people about it as I can, because I'm pretty curious about it myself. My father's getting, 81 years old now, refuses to retire. He doesn't want to lay it down.
No,
still building fence.
And he can still build fence. So he's out there every year doing this. And I just think to myself, the old boy would be able to do it for another 20 years if he could. And a virtual fencing system could really, really help him, you know, in that aspect. Because, you know, like you said, the posts and the electric fence, the cost is always going to be there. But me just imagining my dad up there in that rough country on that land, I just think to myself, maybe this is something I should talk to him about.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to go talk to my old man about it, I better have all my ducks in a row. I'll tell you that right now. Now, the Working Lands Collaborative, something that we've talked about in the past. Mm-hmm. Carrie, for those who may not know what it is, could you explain that?
Yeah. It started as a group of landowners and some agency, NGO representatives, planning some workshops really around the soil health, regenerative ag, kind of some of those practices that are starting to get some attention. a couple years ago, they decided we can't just call ourselves the Workshop Planning Committee. So we're now the Working Lands Collaborative. The Conservation District kind of serves as the administrative coordinating arm support for that. But it's certainly not just us. I mean, we have, you said, representatives from landowners, several other agency folks, and folks that are just really trying to expand the knowledge base on some of these practices locally, not just by bringing in outside knowledge or outside expertise, but also connecting with each other. So that's where we've talked about the Ranchers Nights Out in the past. That's still part of that collaborative, but that's that piece of it. But then also the workshops. And we've brought in some great speakers over the years, world-renowned international type folks, and this year will be no different. The names for the speakers that the workshop puts on are names that are offered up by members of the collaborative. Either they've been following their work or reading their books or listening to their podcasts and, hey, can we get that guy here or that gal here? And so that's where this year's name came from. And so, yeah, we got that workshop coming up. So pretty excited, but it's really just about expanding that knowledge, expanding that understanding to help people maybe take that jump.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a small step. Maybe it's just one thing they want to do this year. Or just a changing in the mindset a little bit to be open to some alternative things, whether it's virtual fence, changing from fencing to, or just the basic practices you've been doing to trying something new.
And I would love something like that on virtual fencing in my father's area that he could go and hear from an expert. Now, the next Working Lands workshop, February 27th and 28th. What can our local producers expect when they attend that?
So this year's event will feature Steve Kenyon, who's out of Alberta, Canada, and he has a Greener Pastures Ranching and does a lot. He's been all around the country visiting about different soil health practices, forage stockpiling practice, winter feeding. Those are some of the things we want to really pull him in on this year. He claims he's a regenerative livestock operation who focuses on growing soil. And so that's kind of the theme about that, as with all of them, but really going to have him visit about some winter feeding, bale grazing tools that can be used, and maybe even some of the business side. We also have a person, Caroline Wild, with Wild Ranch Solutions, and she's actually out of Parkman, Wyoming. She's going to visit about some of the financial tools and different ways to kind of, I guess, look at your books and make sure things pencil out as you're moving through some of these things. So we don't have any more details than that yet, because this kind of came up fast, and we actually have a call with Steve later this week to kind of really firm up the agenda. Still trying to work on the venue, but getting the date out there and then more details to come as we. So keep looking at our Facebook pages for the collaborative, for the Conservation District, and all that information will be out there.
I think
when we have it.
The financial aspect of this is the part that I think so many people could utilize.
Yeah.
Not that they don't know their books, not that they don't know this, but they could possibly get a tip, a hint, an insider's perspective, something that could help them along with that. Less time on the books means more time in the field.
And looking at costs, I mean, what does it cost to do every little thing?
Oh my goodness, you're right.
What do you justify and what's harder and how do you control that?
And, you know, I see the costs of everything going up. Mm-hmm. I'm sure land management and land management tools are no different. I can only imagine what those are costing now.
Yeah.
And being able to sit down and really budget that out. I don't know how most people live, but the majority of the producers that I grew up with, we were all right on the edge.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, that was just life. That was the way it was.
Well, and labor savings, too, could be part of that. Some of the folks we visited with yesterday were just talking about how hard it is to get labor. And you know, that's the difficulty, is having enough labor to do the work that they're wanting to do through us, or whether it's paid labor or hired labor or just their own. So some of that is certainly, if you can.
Gone are the days when a cowboy would ride up to the ranch and you could just say, there's an empty bunk in the house.
Yeah,
get out back there. Yeah.
And it's gotten to where, you know, more and more it's, you know, one full-time person, maybe a couple of part times,
mm-hmm.
you know, nights and weekends and that sort of thing. And
some college ag kids or something.
Right.
Yeah. Day work here and there, you know, but it's gotten hard to get that done even. And I guess to the point of the workshop is, you know, trying to plan for that. If we're going to exist on the knife edge of profitability and that sort of thing, how do we make sure that we know what to expect when we get to the end of the year? And it's not just an adventure of finding out whether we made any money at the end of the year or not.
Yeah, having that off the concern list, I could only imagine, you know, the weight mm-hmm. off of so many producers in the area. If they could go, you know, I'd much rather worry about my bulls this year than my finances.
Yep. Right.
Yep.
So I've run out of time with you, but one more time, when and where will this take place, man?
We don't have the where yet. That's one of the things we're still trying to work out. But February 27th, 28th, whether it's 2 full days, a day and a half, you know, we're still trying to figure out all those details, but wanted to get the date out in front of people and to be looking for it. Maybe now, we can visit with you.
Just one more time. Andrew, there's a January 15th deadline for USDA program funds.
Yep.
What do people need?
We need to have a conversation to understand and just a placeholder signature to keep the door open for this year's consideration. Still time to do that project development, but we've got to get in touch here this week.
Okay, so if you're planning on that, the deadline is January 15th, folks. So get on down to the USDA office. Thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you.
I always feel like whenever we talk, it just flies by.
It does.
I'm going to dedicate an entire show to you guys very soon because I don't know.
That might not. Your listeners might not appreciate that.
I think they would love it. All right. Thank you. And you guys stay upright out there with that win.
Yeah. It's something today.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Here's what makes First Federal Bank and Trust different.
No shareholders, just shared values and profits that are reinvested locally, supporting nonprofits to help our community thrive.
Mutual means more for our communities.
With years of trusted local service and modern banking tools that make life easier, mutual means more.
First Federal Bank and Trust, banking with shared values. Member FDIC.
Bricks and mortar, sticks and stone, a house is a house until you make it a home. Sandbox, hopscotch, yardstick on the wall, backyard soccer goal, laughter down the hall. This is Lisa Hansen with MC2 Realty. Don't settle for the first house that works. Let's find the one that's home. I'll put my years of experience and extensive knowledge of the local market to work for you. Buy or sell with confidence. Call me, Lisa Hansen, at 307-763-3964. And we'll start your home journey today.
Oh man, I just heard your car crying in the parking lot. It really needs an oil change. Midas understands and has an offer too good to pass up. Through January, buy one oil change, get a second one free. Midas also gives your car a thorough inspection to identify any problems and a no-obligation quote for any needed repairs. If you need tires, save $100 off a set of 4 tires. Midas, your one-stop shop for tires, maintenance, and repairs. Helping your car care dollars go farther while keeping you safely on the road. See Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
To really enjoy Wyoming's outdoors, it helps to have skills. If you, your family, or 12 to 15-year-old wants to learn hunting, fishing, and outdoor skills, consider one of the camps offered by the Wyoming Game and Fish this summer. Applications for 2026 camps are on the Game and Fish website beginning January 1st. Learn the basics of hunting, fishing, and the outdoors in the midst of spectacular scenery. There's youth camps, camps for women, and camps for families. Game and Fish website has details. Sponsored by the Wyoming Game and Fish, the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, and